All right, so coming, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Your Tun Trade Islam International, dear listeners, it's a car program. And inshallah, we like to welcome our guests on the program, Abdul Haq Qatara. Abdul Haq, my brother, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakumullahu khairan, Mawlana, once again for the opportunity. Alhamdulillah. It's a beautiful Friday evening. And yeah, we're waiting to be on air so we can, inshallah, try and assist and answer those questions today, inshallah.
Jazakumullah. All right, to continue, I think we do have line number two, Brother Adil Mia. Adil is on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, Brother Adil.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. Hafiz Abdullah and all our listeners. Jazakallah for the opportunity again. Inshallah, we've got all the, can give you all the answers again today, Musa.
Ameen, inshallah. Jazakumullah. We continue, brothers and sisters. It's your phone-in program. Give us a call at the number. It's 011-854-1548. Brother Osama is the engineer for tonight. The WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548. 072-786-1548. And the SMS numbers are 2. It's 4885 and 0825-8080-70. 0825-8080-70. We're waiting for the calls to come through, inshallah. Brothers, let's continue, inshallah. Let's take, it's quite a bit of questions that have come through today, alhamdulillah. Let's start off with this one here. The brother says, how much of antifreeze does it take to fill in his Toyota Camry 2005 model? How many bottles will he need? About four? Three?
Remember something, Mulana. As far as antifreeze is concerned, it depends on the concentrate level of the antifreeze. It says it should give you some sort of instruction on the bottle as to what the concentrate is on the bottle. More than likely, you would see it's about a 50-50 as far as the antifreeze is concerned. You get some of them 30-70, but it's very, very simple. And the best and most effective way to do that is actually to empty your cooling system and pre-mix it before you put it into the vehicle. Toyota Camry, I'm looking at roughly about six liters of water in total, six and a half liters, so three bottles of antifreeze should be sufficient for something like that.
Jazakumullah. Three callers on the line. We'll take up a first caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum, Mulana.
Ji, wa salam, how are you?
Oh, you're not too bad yourself.
Alhamdulillah, my brother Ji.
Mulana, I've got a BMW 320D.
Okay.
2005 model.
Yeah.
It's a diesel, automatic. Now, recently, for the last 2-3 months, what happens is as I'm driving, it suddenly cuts out. And then it just stutters and comes to a halt. You've got to wait 5-10 minutes and then rev it, fire it up again, and then you start going again. And this has been happening on a regular basis. And I've given it to a mechanic. He's putting it on to diagnostics.
Yeah.
He can't seem to pick up anything that's wrong with the stuff. I have got a Netstar tracking device on it. So I don't know, is there something wrong with the electrical box or whatever it is? He's actually had the whole thing reconfigured. It hasn't helped. He's put a new lock set on it or changed the lock set. It hasn't helped. So I don't know from here now. I've got my banged my head against the wall now.
Yeah, just give me the car, my brother.
Mona?
I say just give me the car.
Morena, you got enough of those.
All right, we're going to ask Adil Mia, inshallah, to answer, okay?
Okay.
Adil?
Ji, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ji, what is the mileage on the car, brother?
It's about 250,000.
Did the problem start all of a sudden or did it gradually start?
Come again?
Did the problem start all of a sudden or did it gradually start?
No, you mean, I can't hear you very well then.
Did it start recently?
All of a sudden?
No, it's about a month ago. It's
about a month ago, Adil.
About a month ago.
The problem just came immediately. While you're driving a car, the problem has appeared. You didn't send a car for the service. You didn't for insure anywhere.
I've been sending it for services previously. I haven't had a problem there before then.
But did this problem start off after you gave it to somebody, or was it just all of a sudden while driving?
No, it's not after I gave it to somebody. It just started all of a sudden one day, Fajr time, going to a mosque.
Okay.
Okay, and the guy who done the diagnostic test, he said he couldn't pick up anything.
No, he can't pick up anything on his computer, you know, the screen, whatever it is, whatever diagnostic is doing.
Okay, he can't pick up anything because the problem in your car is not electronical, you've got a mechanical problem there.
You reckon so?
So what you should do is, when the car switches off, does it start immediately or does it take time to start?
that 5-10 minutes before. I mean, I do try and start it up immediately, but you don't get a response, basically. It just stops and that's it. And so you've got to wait 5-10 minutes before the whole thing starts.
Uncle, you've got basically a fuel problem.
A fuel problem?
Yeah, you've got a fuel problem, because if the car switched off and started immediately,
yeah,
that means the fuel pressure in the pressure system is still there. So you're losing the pressure in your fuel system, because the car's a diesel. You need high pressure diesel to pump the fuel to the diesel, I mean to the cylinder, so that the car start. So what I suggest you do is tie the diesel filter. Did you change the diesel filter?
Look, the guy's been servicing it. Obviously, he's been changing it, I think.
Okay, so your cheaper option, start with your cheaper option. You see, now what you have to do is you have to go for the process of elimination.
Yeah.
Eliminate step by step to try and find your problem.
I see.
I think the easiest way to start off with is tie the fuel filter first.
Adil, you know what? He's had the car for 2 weeks on end. He's had it running in his workshop, you know, keep the motor running. And
yeah,
the thing hasn't done anything, in other words, in terms of switching off.
Yeah, you see, it won't happen while the engine's running.
Yeah.
You have to drive the car. You need load on your engine for the car to switch off to do what
it's
doing.
Okay.
You see,
right.
So basically what you should do is, it's going to be a bit of a hideous task, but eventually you'll get the fault. You see, that's what you call problematic cars. They can't be fixed in a couple of hours. It takes
time
to
understood. Okay, all right.
Diesel filter first. Diesel filter is not expensive for that car, so
yeah,
you go ahead through first.
Okay.
And I bet you, most of the time, the diesel filter is your problem.
Okay. Hasn't Mona got any diesel filters laying around there?
Yeah, he should have a few diesel filters.
Well, Adil, but I think what Adil says makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
I had two vehicles, and we had a vehicle this week in the workshop, but the symptoms you gave me, we changed the diesel filter, and alhamdulillah, the car was sorted.
I see. Okay. All right, I'll suggest it to him.
Okay, try that way, and if that's not the case, then you should check the injectors.
Right.
And then the last resort is you check the wiring going to the injectors, and then the diesel pump, and then the ECU. But that's all expensive stuff. But start to the cheap stuff first. But your problem is, the way I can read it, and the way that sometimes you're giving me, is you've got a diesel problem.
I see. Okay, great. Okay, Adil.
Okay.
Inshallah. Now, brother, when you do come right, give us a call again.
Okay, Mawlana, inshallah.
Jazakallah. Take care. All the best. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All right, we continue. We have another caller line. Number 3, it is. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. Hello, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
Ji, how are you?
Alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah. What's the question?
Ji?
You're calling for the car program.
Ji,
what's the question?
Mawlana, I would like to speak onto the competition.
Which competition?
About the cartoon.
About the cartoon?
Yes?
No, it's not on this program. No competition on this program. Okay. Sorry for that. All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Mawlana, you're running some secret competition.
Gee. All right, let's continue, brothers. 011-854-1548 is the number to call. The SMS numbers are 248-855 and 0825-8080-70. Adil, one SMS coming through. The brother says, I think Adil hit the answer on the head. What the brother's problem was regarding the BMW, he also feels that it is the fuel problem, like brother Adil mentioned. Adil, jazakallah for your expertise, my brother. Hopefully the brother will come right, inshallah.
Inshallah.
And then he owes us a big bri.
Inshallah.
See.
Mawlana, you're hungry already, Mawlana.
Yeah. You don't say no for bribes, you know, the haq.
Gee, but Mawlana, you must get some game meat, you can bribe better.
Inshallah, gee, game meat.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah. Okay, brother, let's take this question here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Is there any risk to a manual car by freewheeling on the freeway downhills?
Yeah, very, very important question, Mawlana. Alhamdulillah.
Is it the wheelie? What's he talking about here?
Freewheeling is something on a manual vehicle.
Yeah.
It might sound good. It might feel like you're saving fuel. But remember something, Mawlana. With the vehicle not in gear, you're not so much in control.
Okay.
If the vehicle is in gear, yes, you have more control. You're stopping. Your stopping distance also can be shortened by the vehicle being in gear. For example, what we normally do sometimes is we just come, before we come to the stop street, we tend to press our clutch in well before the time, and these are the people you'll find that their brake pads wear so much quicker, because you put the clutch in, the vehicle is freewheeling, and there is so much more pressure on the brakes that it wears the brakes down much quicker. Yes, as I said earlier, it's very, very important that you do keep your vehicle in gear at all times. simply because then you have more control over your braking and everything else as well. Because you'll notice, Sani Morana, while driving at about 120 kilometers an hour with your vehicle in gear, when you release the accelerator, you'll already find that that vehicle slows down somewhat.
Mm.
But if it's in neutral, you're going to have so much more braking power required to stop the vehicle. So it is advisable, yes, to drive in gear all the time.
Okay, Jazakumullah. Line number 3, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. All right, call us back, inshallah. We have another caller, inshallah. Number to call, 011-854-1548. Line 4, we have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam. Balana?
Ji.
The person that phoned for the 320D, I was listening in the car.
Yeah, ji.
It can be his battery as well.
It could be the battery as well.
I promise you, batteries give such problems you can't believe it. I know of a person that spent 10,000 rands on his Mercedes at the agents. Eventually, same problem. Then eventually he had to change the battery and everything was over.
Okay, my brother. Jazakallah so much.
Right, sir.
Jazakallah. Much appreciated, my brother.
Anytime.
Allah reward you. Take care.
Jazakallah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ji. Adil, could be the battery as well.
You see, like the brother was mentioning about the battery is a very important factor in modern-day cars today. But you have to have a certain amount of amperage going to the control units in the vehicle. So basically, the battery is a problem. Most of the cars also today, in today's modern-day cars, you have the auxiliary battery and you have the main battery. So what I found out today is that after you start the car, you don't need the battery. So basically, the alternator takes over and supplies the regular current to the different components. So yeah, the brother told me that the car switched off and didn't want to start again. Like basically, you see, there's two ways to explain a car starting itself. You know, some people said the car don't start.
Mm.
The car is dead. There's nothing happening to the car. Some people tell me also the car not starting. It means the engine is turning, but the car is not taking.
Gee.
You see, so there's two different terminologies. So you say your car is not starting, meaning the car is dead, nothing's happening. Or the car not starting, meaning the engine's turning over but not taking. You understand? So if the car is starting and the engine's turning, that means the battery is okay. That means the power going to the starter is okay. So if the brother's car on the BMW, the car switched off and the car did not start, that means the car is dead. You know, you try to clean the car, it doesn't turn over.
Okay.
And then there is a possibility there is a battery. But it cannot be ruled out. I mean, the brother could be right also. The battery must be checked. But I mean, you see, in today's day also, a lot of technicians, a lot of mechanics, I would say myself, they're forgetting the basics. They're not checking the basic things in cars anymore. They all want to jump to the big things. So the brother is 100% correct. Maybe the guy took the car to the dealership, they're spending thousands of rand on the wrong thing, but they're not checking the basics.
The basics, yeah.
So basically, your car comes into the workshop. You check the basic thing, check the battery voltage is correct, check the alternator's charge in the battery,
yeah.
The fuses, check the, you know, the things like that, the basic checks must be checked. I tell my guys always in the workshop, check the basic things first, then go to the big things. Like, you know, you go to the doctor, he's not checking your heart pressure, he's not checking your blood pressure, he's not checking your, he just said, you know, you need a heart operation, right? Go to the cardiologist, but you know, he's just giving you a big symptom, not checking the small thing. Maybe you've got a small thing wrong with you, not a major thing. You know, people just want to jump to the big things and go for the big guns. Check the basic things first, and most of the time, the basic things sort your gout.
Okay, Jazakallah for the important point. Talking about batteries, this is a very interesting article I came across here, you know, with a hydrogen fuel cell powered car setting new distance record out in, I think, the London area. For distance travel on one tank of hydrogen was about 800 kilos, and for the longest journey of more than about 6,000 miles in 6 days. So the big question is hydrogen the future of the car rather than electric cars? Questions people have been asking, can the two technologies coexist or will one predominate? If so, which one is likely to emerge victorious? And also very interesting, you know, the fight between hydrogen and batteries to replace the internal combustion engine as the driving force in cars technology is now in full swing. For example, Adil, you know, if you look at the volumes, electric cars are currently winning the battle. We believe that they sold almost 500,000 last year. And we believe that the other guys, you know, I think every car manufacturer is increasing the number of the EV models it produces. We're talking about, I think VW, we're talking about, you know, quite a few cars. Audi is also starting off, and BMW as well. So it's interesting. Jazakumullah. Let's continue, inshallah. Yes, Toyota has also thrown its weight behind the Mirai model, behind the technology with its Mirai model. Jazakallah for that. 011-854-1548 is the number to call. The SMS number is 48855 and 082-580-8070. And the WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548. 072-786-1548. All right, the question coming through here is regarding, you know, the alignment. The brother says, what happens if the alignment has not been done to the car? In the long run, what happens?
We don't do alignment to the car in the long run. Your tires will be worn out either on the left or on the right side or in the middle, and your tires won't last long at all. And it can cause high fuel consumption, it can cause bad road handling, so you can cause a problem on the road because the car won't be holding the road properly. It could be a lot of factors leading to alignment being done. So the alignment is a very important thing on a motor vehicle. It should be checked 100% probably, because that's the actual geometric performance of the vehicle, how effectively straight the car is and how the car is holding onto the road. So basically, you're just going to be to spend a couple of hundred rand to do the alignment, you're going to be losing thousands of rand. You're not going to do it. So basically, what they say is penny wise and pound foolish. You know?
Okay, Jazakumullah. The other question is with regards to a Chrysler. The brother says doesn't say what model, what Chrysler. Anyway, he says all of a sudden it just stopped moving. Ignition stays on. You can leave it on, but it doesn't start. Abdulhaq, anything, any idea, any advice you have for the brother?
Yeah, like brother Adil mentioned earlier on. We've got to actually ascertain as to whether the vehicle is starting or not starting. Is simple. Is the engine cranking over? If the engine is cranking over, yes, then we have either a fuel problem or a spark problem. If the engine is not cranking over, then obviously we have a battery problem or you have an ignition problem. A lot of times you might find that, you know, you put the ignition on, all the lights will come on. The minute you turn the key, you'll see lights tend to disappear. You leave the key and the ignition stays on again, and you see all the lights are coming on. That could be due to a weak battery. Obviously, poor contact also comes into place, you know, as far as the battery terminals are concerned. You know, a lot of times, fortunately nowadays, everybody seems to be adhering to the fact that, you know, you buy a battery that is maintenance-free. So nobody's actually fiddling around with it. And the older times when we had the battery where you could put in distilled water, people tend to put too much of distilled water in the battery, and end result was you had acid coming out, and obviously end result there was that you had acid on the terminals, which created a poor contact. So obviously, yes, it could be a poor contact, it could be a weak battery, it could be a faulty ignition system as well if the vehicle is not cranking over. But like I said, if the vehicle is cranking over, the engine is turning but not taking, so that could be either a fault with you, you know, your firing with your spark or with your fuel system.
Jazakumullah. We go on further. The other question coming through is with regards to a gear problem, Adil. The brother asks, what causes a grinding or a scratching noise when shifting from second gear to third gear? And what he says, he went to the mechanic, they added some oil, but maybe should he drain the old oil out? I don't think it's oil, Adil. Maybe it's the synchros or something of that sort.
Yeah, if you got a grinding noise from second to third gear in the gearbox, if the oil is low, that you can have that problem. But most of the time, it's the synchro mesh gears, the synchro mesh units in the gearbox on a manual transmission, which are worn out. They have the little dogging teeth which you need to synchronize with the other gear. So basically, those teeth are worn out, you can have this grinding effect. Or another thing can cause a grinding effect is also important, can be the clutch starting to wear also. So it's basically check the oil first. Like now we come back to the basic things again. So check the basic things, and check the oil first, check the clutch is okay, and then go to the big thing, the gearbox itself.
Jazakumullah. The other question regarding Toyota Tayers, it says, I took my car in for a service. Upon receiving it back, I have to push the clutch in to its absolute max before shifting gears. It wasn't like this before. What can it be?
See, man. Yeah, all right. It's rather unfortunate. You know, the only thing is when you've got to put the clutch into the max is either the end play on your clutch has been adjusted, and with the result prior to the service, you were not pressing your clutch so deep in, and that is why you're now putting your clutch so much deeper in. Or the other unfortunate thing that could have happened is you have now got, all of a sudden, you've got a bit more wear on your clutch, and you'll notice that you've got to press your clutch a bit more in as to get the gears to actually change over. But yes, unfortunately, or should I say, fortunately, we can't point fingers at your mechanic or the technician that's done anything. You know, it could be something that that is rather coincidental.
Okay, lovely. The brother's got a Toyota Corolla. It says the left turn signal shared the same blinking rate as the right side. What happens this morning? The left turn signal started blinking at a more rapid pace than the right one. Is it a bulb?
See, 9 out of 10 times, that is the bulb. One of the indicators are not working, and because it works on a pulsing system, you've got a flicker unit that controls the flicking. And what is happening now? It's instead of sending one pulse to the front and to the back, it's now sending both the pulses to one indicator, one bulb, and that is the reason it is flicking much quicker than the other side. Basically, very very basic. All you've got to do is replace the bulb on there, and inshallah, the problem should be sorted. But if you have a problem with your flicker unit itself, the little flicker relay you get, if that relay is faulty, then obviously you're going to have a problem with both your flickers.
Jazakumullah. All right, we're going to be taking a short break. When we come back, inshallah, we continue. Remember, the number to call for the program is 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548. And the WhatsApp, sorry, the SMS number is 4855. And also, 0825-8080-70. But the WhatsApp number again is 0-727-861-548. All right, let's take this question here. It says, I have H100-255 model. Every time I start the engine, it drops oil. What's the problem? And what is the value of the H100? All right. Let's see what's the problem, brothers. He starts the engine, it drops oil. What could be the problem?
Simon, obviously there is a seal or a gasket that is worn out or leaking or damaged seal, something like that. When he says it starts the vehicle up, obviously there is now motion and there is some pressure being created in the system. And with the pressure coming, obviously it is now pushing out oil from one of the seals. The value on that vehicle, Mulan, unfortunately, it's going to be rather difficult for me to say to you. Unfortunately, it's not my forte. As far as maybe Brother Adil knows a bit better about motor vehicle values, but yes, as far as the oil leak is concerned, every time you start it up, that is a serious oil leak. You know, it shouldn't be pouring out or coming out as quickly as he is saying. So I would rather look at that urgently before I even think about selling the vehicle.
All right, Jazakumullah. I'll say plus minus about 60 grand. I don't know, subject to correction. But in the region, it's a 2005 model. We continue, inshallah. Jazakallah for the SMS. We're taking a break. When we come back, inshallah, we continue. Don't go away. Right, welcome back. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Brothers, we continue. Sisters, we continue. Number to call for the program, 011-854-1548. The WhatsApp number is 072-786-1548. We're taking on your questions regarding your cars. All right, Adil Mia, are you there, my brother?
What's up?
Jazakallah. I think the question coming through, they're asking for your advice, and my brother, the Suzuki, they've just launched, I think, the Urban Compact SUV. They're advertising it to say, like, none other. Starting range price is 169,000 rands, and what the brother says, retail pricing goes, I think, a 2-year 30,000 service plan, and or a 5-year 200,000 kilo warranty. So my brothers, Adil, what is your take on this? The new Suzuki Ignis going for 170,000 rands. Are we getting value for money?
Yeah, Masab, you see, the
what about the parts? Are there Suzuki parts?
Yeah, Masab, today we know we all sit in our comfort zones where we only basically support brands that we know. Like, you know, common amongst us is Toyota, VW, Mercedes, BMW, and VW. The other brands on the market like Hyundai and Kia and the Suzuki brand, which is mentioned right now.
And the Saturn and Reynolds and all those cars, yeah.
Yeah, the real value for money, the extras and the things that are put into those cars. And really, these Korean, Japanese, they built some good cars out there, Mosab. It's just a matter of time that they can take over the whole market. Because when I look at it, okay, maybe, and the parts also not very badly priced. The only problem is that the availability of the parts and then the replacement parts like headlights and the body parts and things like that, but on the expensive side, but relatively compatible to the rest of the manufacturers in our country. So basically, by looking at it, you know, I think personally it's something the buyer should go for and try it out. It's not a thing that
you're going to fail. Because if a motor manufacturer is so confident to give you a 2-year and 200,000 kilometer warranty, that's excellent because they've got confidence behind their product. So in that case, I think it would be a good buy once I've been something to try. And a Suzuki car is not a bad car. You know, they've been out there for a long time and they've proven it's not a car that you see many times giving you lots of trouble and problems. But basically any vehicle today, they maintain properly and looked after properly, can last you a long time.
Jazakumullah. The question coming through my brother, it says, I want to put my new spark plugs to my 206 Opel Corsa Light, but I discovered there are different opinions about whether you should put NTC's lubrication on the threads when replacing the plugs. To me, it seems that lubrication can only help when the plugs have to be removed one day. Why then are some companies opposed to it? And what else do I have to keep in mind when replacing the plugs?
See, Mulana, very, very good question, very important question, alhamdulillah. First of all, you know, removal of the plugs, very, very important that you do it in a very, very straight way without damaging any of the porcelain that's around the spark plugs. Once the spark plug obviously is removed, make sure nothing falls into the little hole that is there for the spark plug to be in. Put in new spark plugs. Make sure obviously first of all it is the correct spark plug. The heat range for the spark plug is correct. It is recommended by the manufacturer. And yes, when you do put it in, obviously there is a certain torque, specified torque as to how much you should tighten it. As far as the lubrication is concerned, yes. I still, you know, from time to time we do it on especially the older vehicles, where we use a never seize grease. We call it the never seize grease, but it's actually a copper compound, copper slip. Very, very good to put that on the threads of the spark plugs, simply because it prevents any seizure on the spark plug. Because if the spark plug does seize within the cylinder head, it's going to be rather a difficult thing. Or sometimes you can repair the threads in place. A lot of times you'll have to remove the cylinder head to have the threads replaced on the spark plug, and that happens 9 out of 10 times because a spark plug is over tightened. So very, very important to make sure to maintain the correct torque on the spark plug.
All right, Jazakumullah. How does one actually read the spark as well? But, you know, by looking at the spark plug, you can see for how long that this was in the car. You could see the condition of the engine as well. You can see more about the fuel management of the car as well as the ignition system. So how does one actually read the plugs?
Jim, that's a very good point you made there, Mazhab. You see, you get some mechanics out there, they take the spark plug out, and just by looking at the spark plug, they'll tell you exactly what's wrong with the car. But that's all comes with experience, Mazhab. There's not a thing that you can turn overnight. Okay, there are some spark plug manufacturers that give you a chart that you can compare a spark plug to the chart, and according to how your spark plug looks, you can determine what's wrong with your engine according to the chart. But just to give you a quick lesson on it, Mazhab, there's an electrode between the tip of the spark plug and onto the spark plug is a little piece of electrode that sticks out there. So the longer the electrode is, that means there's a better, and between the tip of the spark plug there should be a gap. So to measure between the gap and the electrode, the smaller the larger the gap becomes, that means that the more worn your spark plug is. And around the spark plug electrode, if there's any foul particles or any build-up of any carbon or anything, that means the engine is not good. But if the spark plug is burnt gray and the electrode is wearing out equally in all of them, that means you've got a good engine and the performance of the engine is good and your consumption of the engine is good. So basically a whole story, but as I always got a habit when taking the spark plug, I always look at the spark plug and see the kilometer. So basically as you get the experience, you can actually read how the spark plug wears out and exactly what is wrong with the engine. It's a very interesting thing. So one day when you come around to the workshop, I can give you a small lesson on how to check the spark plug.
Yeah, please, inshallah. I would love to do that, Ariel. I need to learn quite a lot of things. Gee.
The other good use for a spark plug, when you go into Durban, is you can use it for a sinker.
Yeah, for a sinker, gee. I remember back in the days, our uncles used to keep the spark plugs in the fishing boxes, you know, for the fishing, gee.
It wasn't to start the fishing, it was actually to fish with, eh?
Gee. Okay, let's take it further, inshallah. The question the brother says is, what happens, Adil Dulhak, if, for example, you take out a 5 amp, or rather 50 amp, you know, fuse. What happens if you replace it with an 80 amp or a 100 amp? He's talking about the RAV4. Can he change the 50 amp to rather maybe to make it an 80 amp?
Simran, very, very good question, very interesting question. We do see some of these funny things getting on nowadays, especially, you know, the old guys from the old school will do most of these things. You know, if you've got a 50 amp spark plug, it is, the 50 amp fuse in there, it is advisable and recommended that you do put a 50 amp in there, because there is some research being done as to if you replace it with something higher, there is a possibility of you could create some sort of heat on the wiring, and heat on the wiring could start what we call a fire in the vehicle. 50 amp, maybe you go to 60 amp, you know, maximum, don't go beyond that, because what happens is if a fuse is blowing and blowing continuously, then obviously you're having a dead short in the vehicle, and a dead short should be seen to immediately. It shouldn't be left, you know, for something else to happen further. You know, you get a lot of times some people take a piece of wire and they put it across the fuse, or you get a piece of foil that's going there. That is extremely dangerous. It is something that you shouldn't be doing, because what happens, as I said, it's going to send excessive current to the wire, and those wires sometimes are very thin, and with a result you could start some sort of fire. You'll get smell, smoke, whatever. You could get yourself into deep trouble by simply spinning a 2 ren or 3 ren on the wrong amperage of fuse. Or otherwise, if you have an electrical problem with the vehicle, it could cost you a couple of $100, and now you're going to be sitting with a burnt vehicle. The choice is yours, but it's not correct to do something like that.
All right, Jazakumullah. We continue, and the other question, Adia, this one is for you. Hi, Assalamu alaikum. It says, I have a 2002, W202C240 Sport. For over a year now, the BAS and the ABS lights have been showing. I don't drive the car so much, so I kind of ignored it. Recently, the car went into limp mode with a brake light and engine light showing. First, my nearest Mercedes franchise changed all meter spares. That never helped. They charged me a hell of a lot. They then changed the brake light switch, even though, and that never worked also. The thing that is confusing is the car does not show the brake and engine limp mode when cold in the morning, and only later when it gets warmer. The Mercedes mechanic suggested there is a communication failure between the computer box and the brake light switch, because the diagnostic report still shows the brake light switch to be faulty. And the poor guy says they charged him for 8 hours of investigative work, but the brother says nothing been done to the car. What could be the problem? Could you guys please assist?
Jim, we can assist the brother. It's not a problem. We had a few issues of that sort on vehicles like it. Basically, there is a few issues, Mosab, and unfortunately on the brother's case also there will be a process of elimination. The most common thing I found on those vehicles is the throttle body unit that normally corrodes or gets carbon buildup in it. So a simple solution that a brother is listening to tell the technician to remove the throttle body and clean it out of heavy service and put it back. Most of the time that sorts the problem out, or even the airflow meter can be a problem and can cause a problem. If he doesn't come right, Mazab is always free to come around. That problem we can solve for him. It's not an issue. It's very easy to piece up. We had a few of those in the workshop. I don't want to advertise the workshop on the radio or anything, but if the doesn't come right anywhere else, alhamdulillah, he can give us our number. We can assist him. It's not a problem.
Okay, my brother. Jazakallah.
Don't charge him an arm and a leg. It's not a difficult problem.
Gee. All right, you tell me how much I should charge him, Adil. Okay, let's take it further, inshallah. We have limited time already, 10 to 9. And this question, the brother says he's got a, doesn't say what car, it's a 2006 car, I think it's a VW. This afternoon he heard a tingling noise in the engine. He was told it's a bearing knock. Abdul-Haq, what's this going to set him back?
Team Morana is unfortunately fun and games, but before he goes to one place and gets an opinion, he should get a second and a third opinion. Yes, if it is a bearing knock, unfortunately, and you know, Morana, I found that on the VW to be rather common, simply because lack of servicing. The VW has something what we call a sump service. A sump service is where you've got to actually remove the engine sump, the pickup for the oil pump is there, and that sometimes tends to block up. I don't know for what sort of reason, but yes, in most cases it's due to lack of services. I mean, I get a guy who hasn't done service for 30,000 kilometers, and then he comes in with a noise, and unfortunately it's going to be a bearing knock. And a bearing knock is rather an expensive exercise. In fact, I think I'm sitting with a Nissan Tira now that I've got a similar sort of problem with. And the brother says, no, I've been putting in oil. To put in oil is not the issue. Replacing the oil and the filter is where the issue comes in. The cost of a engine today, unfortunately, Molana, it's you know, you're looking at a reasonably or a good job, a decent job. You know, on a smaller vehicle also, anything from about 15,000 rand, it's going to cost you to do something like that. Because obviously what has happened is, if you, especially if you've got some sort of damage on the crankshaft, the crankshaft's got to get cut, got polished, those sort of things. The oil pump's got to be replaced because it's now inefficient from due to lack of servicing. The oil pickup, I mean, basically you've got to do everything. You do a complete engine overhaul and everything. And starting with the smaller vehicles, you're looking at about plus minus 15,000 rand.
All right, Jazakumullah, we continue. It's 8 minutes to the hour of 9 o'clock. We take one more question. The question, it says, in October I bought new tires added for my 2012 car. Also, it says, the brother says, I've only put on 4,000 miles on them, or 7,000 kilos, and I've not been able to drive since March due to surgery. But anyway, the brother, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, grant you complete shifa, ikamila, mustamiran, ajilan, ghayla, ajil. And he wanted to sell his car. But anyway, inshallah, we'll get back to this question some other time. Let's take this question here. Okay, this one coming in through. It says via. Okay, let's take this one here. Yes, salamu alaikum. My A160 2002, I changed my tire. It has a different thread compared to the other three tires. The car now shakes a lot, brothers.
He must have got probably the tire he replaced on the car that doesn't have the same dead like the other. Maybe the tire is got a problem with it, or maybe the rim is buckled. Because if you don't have the same third tire, it don't necessarily cause a car to vibrate. If the car was so fine, third pattern won't make the car vibrate. It will maybe not hold the road as better as the other tires. But he's probably got a problem. If he's got a new tire, maybe he's got a faulty tire, or maybe he's one of his rims is buckled. So that's why he should be checked. But different patterns are not going to cause the car to vibrate.
Okay. Adil, Jazakallah for the lovely program. My brother Abdul Haq, Jazakallah for your input as well. Allah Pak reward you guys in abundance and much appreciated. And Allah willing, inshallah, next week, same time, same place, we talk again.
Amen. Special du'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.